then was Katie, and then was Joe, and then was Lizzie, and then was Anthony, then was Barbara, and then was Michael, and then was Genevieve, and then was Hedwiga, and then was Francis, and then was Eddie. Annie Maria.
Oh, Anna Maria was the last one.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything that your parents talked about from Russia? Did they ever talk about Russia?
Yes. My dad was in the army.
Your dad was in the Russian army?
In the army before he got married. And he was in the army, the Russian army, for 5 years. And the Russians were pretty tough, you know, in the army. And my dad was in a company. In Russia, they call it a company, you know.
Yeah.
And he said that's one thing I remember about my father when he told me about Russia. He said, his officer said, "Mike, you take the horses down." They had a little stream, you know, like an apple creek or something, you know, like we have here. "And you wash them horses." So my dad took the team of horses down, he said. And he was sitting there, and the horses were starting to eat grass. And he said, there was a rock, a big rock, laying there. And he thought, he sits on the rock. He thought, if I wash these horses, they'll push me around. I'm not going to wash them. He sat there, nothing happened, you know. Pretty soon his officer come down. And he said, "Mike, why aren't you washing them horses?" And Mike said, my dad said, "I'm not going to wash them horses." He says, "You know what?" He says, "I could shoot you right here." He says, "I don't care. I'm not going to wash them horses." Well, the officer stood from one foot to the other, was singing a little bit, and he says, he had a little book in his pocket. He took the book out, he said, and he says, "Are you pretty good in figures?" And then he gave him a few figures, and my dad knew all that stuff, you see. So he says, "Well, I'll tell you," he said, I'll give you a different job. You're very good in figures. You're going to get on the wagon where you have food, deliver food to different places." "But don't ever say nothing," he said, "because I'll be in hot water."
Mm-hmm.
So my dad said, "My mouth is sealed," he says, "I'll take it." So that was the end of washing horses for him.
Oh.
That's one thing I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't. He was scared they're going to push him around and drown him, huh?
Yeah, no, they were going to push and make him wash horses.
Oh, I see.
They didn't want to wash them horses.
The Russians would push him around.
Yeah, they wanted to.
I was thinking the other way around.
Yeah. He thought if he does all that dirty work, you know, that he didn't want to do, he'll be doing that all his life.
Oh.
My dad was assessor for 22 years at Napoleon. Assessor.
Oh. Assessor.
Assessor. The people out there.
The taxes.
Taxes, yeah.
Do you wrong? How long was he in the Russian army?
5 years.
Do you know what he did in the army? What kind of work did he do?
That's what he did then.
Oh.
He was delivering...
Doing the bookwork.
Groceries and doing bookwork, you know, because he was very good in figures.
Okay, I was wondering if he was riding a horse. He was not riding a horse
No. But it's when he first got in there, see, that's... Then they try to push him around, make him wash the horses, wash them.
Yeah. Then after he got out of the army, then he got married after that, huh?
After he got out of the army, he got married. You know, years ago they used to bring somebody to the house. They didn't. Wasn't sweethearts or sleep together before. They get married. Somebody knew him. It was my uncle. And when my dad got home, he knew him, he liked him, he says, I got a good wife for you. So my mother, she worked for somebody out there. Well, my grandmother had a orchard, you know. She made wine, juice, 50 gallons, a great big, they had these root cellars outside, see?
She was working, and then my mom,
they hauled some stuff and the horses run away. And she fell off the wagon and she broke her arm and broke both legs. So she was behind a little bit because she took a long time to heal that, you know. Mm-hmm. Two broken legs and one broken arm one time, you know. She was on crutches. Well, it was just about the time when she was getting better when my dad got home to get married. Because he was 25 years old when he got married. And they brought him to the house, and my mother had a sister. And when they brought him to the house, well, the oldest one had a chance to get married first to this guy. That's what was his intention anyhow. So my uncle, you know, was my mother's sister. So when he brought my dad over there, and then he said, well, do you want to get married? Well, my mom was sort of, she thought she wasn't well enough because she had these broken legs and arms. Mm-hmm. And she sort of thought it over, but my dad was a good looking man, a strong person and a healthy person. And then my mother's sister said, if you don't take him, I'll take him. Then my mom says, well, what the hell, why shouldn't I take him if he wants me? So she took him. And then the first year when they were married, my mom got scarlet fever. And that was been around, you know, years ago, it was bad. And then they had her dressed already. And has laid down, you know, the people's neighbors come around like that. My dad couldn't believe that she's dead. He says, nope, she's not dead. So they sat around, they said a rosary, they sat around, and my dad took a mirror and put it on her face like that. And they were sitting and waiting, and he went over there and he took that mirror off and he says, she's not dead. And she wasn't. They were going to bury her, but they had her. They had they start making her clothes already to bury them. She had a shirt, she also said, a shirt, you know, for her. Then she said her brother, what had gotten married a year before, and he got sick and died. So she always said, now he got to wear my shirt that they made for me.
Oh.
So these are the things, you know, that I remember that my parents told me.
Yeah. But she got completely over that, huh?
She got over that. That they were married in 1894. Then Adam was born in 1896. Because my mom was that sick, it took a little time to get her strength back. And do you know what? My mom had a baby in 96, in 97, in 98, in 99. She had a baby every year. They were matched. Their seed was just working. They were healthy people.
Yeah.
So that was Lizzie, you know, was born in 1899, and I was born in 99. Mm-hmm. And I was 10 years younger than her, and her daughter that she got, Jenny Schneider, that married my, she was born in 1919. She was 10 years younger than her. But she only got 36 years old, my sister, and she had six, she had 9 children. And her youngest one wasn't even 2 years old yet. He didn't even know that his mama died.
Yes,
my mom is sleeping, he said.
Oh, and she died from what?
She died from blood poisoning. She was a midwife. She brought over 100 babies into the world, and so was my mother. My mother was a midwife, too.
Your mother was a midwife?
Midwife, too. One time, Mrs. Feist got a baby, Ricky and his mother, and it weighed 17 pounds, and my mother was a midwife.
Oh my goodness.
That was a big adult. I think it jumped out and started walking around the house. My mom was a good lady, a very, very good lady. I remember one time we had a poor family there, who lived about a mile and a half from us. They lived in that place where your brother lives here. And they used to get milk from us and stuff. And they had 6 children. So one time this lady came down and she, my mom said she was so poor. She went in and we lived in the new house already. She took a sheet. So I laid it on the floor and she gave some of our clothes. I didn't want to give some of my clothes up. She took some of my clothes and she gave, because they had girls that was my size, you know. And I didn't want to give that dress up yet because I liked it, but she took a bunch of stuff, just a whole bunch of stuff, and gave it to that lady. She had a heart of gold. And she always remembered the people that were backwards. Like a lady in church would just sit there, nobody would talk to her. My mom would go over there and talk to her, how are you today? And felt sorry for her.
Did you
Monsignor Feehan, one time when she died, she had that money we used to give mass. I had to go over there every day, every month, and pay the mass. I says, I want to pay it by the year. Monsignor Feehan said, no. You come in every month and pay for it. For 5 years I had a mass every month for dead. You get masses and then with people, you know, and I received all these masses. And I took them over to the priest. And then when my mom died, she said, you do the same thing to me as she did to dead. You'd have a mass. So when it came towards last year, I come over to Father Feehan one day and I said, I come over, I want to pay for the mass again. Why did you take it for a year? I says, I have to come over every day, I says, every month and pay for the mass. Then he said to me, he looked at me and he sort of smiled. He's all smiling at me. He said, your mom don't need no masses no more. She's a saint, he said. Well, I said, she don't need them. I hope some other poor soul gets them that never gets any. You know.
Sure.
I was at the Alder Society for 22 years. I was treasurer over there. And I had to go up there every month. We had masses said for our soldiers and for our Alder Society ladies and for our sick people in our parish. So I always had to write a check and take it over there every month for 22 years. I was treasurer.
No.
And when my husband got so sick, then I had to give it up because I was, you know, he needed the care. I took care of him.
Did your mother, was your mother a midwife in Russia already?
No. Just in America when they got out here to around the farmers there. You know, there was never no doctor around.
Okay, did they come and get her when somebody
had baby, her? And you know, another thing, my mom used to dress people. They used to, my uncle had in Strasbourg made coffins, and his wife was my mother's sister, and she lined them out with silk, and they didn't have any children. That's what they made their living that way. And they had a house and they put the coffins up in the attic, you know, because of stairway that you go up. So when somebody died, they put their coffin up. But the old people, they had their cloth, black cloth and the white lining. And then the babies or single people, they had blue, even dark blue cloth that lined it out. They were nice.
So
many, many in Strasbourg, he made these coffins. He made a coffin one time.
Now, who made the coffin? I could ask.
My uncle, Moser.
Oh.
Matt Moser
made the coffins.
Made the coffins. And he died, he had cancer up here. And we went down there to see him once, and we took my folks along. And she was always canning, you know, she had a garden, made jelly, she made everything. She made whiskey, you know, her own whiskey, the neighbor. Women used to come in, they have a little shot, you know, after church, you know, and they have coffee there. And she said to me, she says, "Here you go, go down and get some jelly. You know, to go down the steps," she says, "you go around and go in, there's a vegetable, go and get some jelly." And they all said this, they're safe and lights, you know, they had this little tiny box, you know. I pulled the string and I got, whew, here was a coffin in there. She said it in there because it would dry out too much in the attic. He made her a coffin, so she has the coffin when she dies. Mm-hmm. And she had it set in the vegetable, set it like that, and her shelves were dead. So yeah, I got scared when I come in here, it's just this coffin, I didn't notice. So many things like that, you know, you just can't forget stuff like that. I know a lady that lived by her one time, we were down there. They had their wedding, their golden wedding. She was really planned, that's Kedria, you know, my sister. She was really a planned person, she'd always wear. All my mother's sisters, they liked white clothes with a little flowers or something, black ones, you know. And always closed up here, buttons down the front, sleeves, you know, they're all dressed decent. Never seen them walk around with, you know, bare arms and stuff. They didn't do that. I thought they were just Christly people. You know, they should be.
They were Christly.
Years ago, when I used to go to church, and the lady would come and didn't have no sleeves in, the priest wouldn't give him Holy Communion. That's true.
They
remember that.
They had to have long sleeves, huh?
They had to have sleeves down to elbow.
Go down to the elbow.
Yeah.
Okay, what church was that where they could not, where the priest stood up in here in Bismarck?
That was years ago. Just about all the churches were like that.
Oh, I see.
And then you had to wear shawls too. Now they would have. Now I tell you, I was so mad the other day. Somebody went up there and had shorts on up to here and tried to pass Holy Communion out. It's not nice.
Oh,
this should be a little more decent, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. What about midwife? Can you tell me anything more about being midwife? Your mother, did somebody die when your mother was a midwife?
Yes, her sister. Her sister died. She was Mary Two Warner.
Mary Two Warner.
And Andrew Warner, your uncle?
Yeah.
He's dead. His first wife was my mother's sister. Her name was Agatha.
Oh. And she
died? They had six children. And three of them died. They had diphtheria. And then there was three of them left. Joe, and Andrew, and Maggie. They're dead now too, they're old already, they're past their 90s, they've got pretty old. And then when she had this baby, of course she died.
I mean right at childbirth?
Childbirth. And then they laid the baby in the coffin with her.
Oh.
And they buried her. And she's buried out there at St. Anthony's Church. She was the first person that was buried there. See, they never used to have a church there. They had it in there, St. John's, yeah, that was close to Wishing. Yes. We passed there once, we took your folks along, went down to Haven. Father Lowinger lived down there.
Mm-hmm.
We called your folks up to sort of come down, and we went down. And then we passed there at that St. John's Church. But it wasn't open anymore, but there was a cemetery there. I remember that. And there was, the church was still sitting there, but I didn't have no church in there anymore. Then Adam said here that we used to come down out to this church before St. Anthony's started.
So what about, let's see, anything else about child? You don't know how many babies your mother delivered. Huh?
Oh my gosh, but she had quite a few. My sister Lizzie delivered over 100. But we had quite a few too. I would say just sort of guessly, about 50 maybe.
50. Did they have any medicine? Did your mother make any medicine for them?
No, they didn't have no medicine.
They had Camilla tea, I suppose.
Because when Lizzie had her baby, she used to come down, my mother. When Katie had a baby, she came down. And my dad's sister had a baby, she brought him down to the house. And when they were sick there during the flu there, she brought him in the house too, and they took care of him. Us kids never got, you know why we didn't get the flu? We took care of everybody's yard, you know, the FedEx and all them, Schlossers and all them, the boys went up there. But you know why we didn't get the flu? My dad made us eat garlic.
Oh.
And my mom had a garlic they braided, you know, they'd hang it up, it was like the garlic like that. And you eat that garlic, well, we didn't mind it so much. Barbara ate, but Jenny, my sister that's older than me, she hated garlic. You have to eat that garlic, Dad. So she would just take a piece of bread and she'd rip the garlic and she'd put it in her mouth and she'd... she had to eat it too.
Did you smell from the garlic then?
Oh, you stink like hell, huh? You have to open the window sometimes to breathe. Yeah.
Well, if you went to school, when you went to school with the garlic smell, did the other kids smell it?
Oh, sure they did.
Or maybe everybody ate garlic?
Sometimes they ate, the Warners ate a lot of garlic, and the Richters ate a lot of garlic. Years ago, that was good for you, for garlic. The Richters said that's the only three people that went to school, the Warners and the Richters and the Messets years ago. That was just that later on the FedEx started it. But the Richters had that, there was John. He had a John Richter out here, and his son had a priest, you'd probably know him. That old man Richter's, his mother was my godmother. Her name was Johanna.
Johanna.
I was supposed to be Johanna. And then when my dad took over there to get baptized, and I had Schlossers that lived a mile from us. And then he said, well, we'll just go through Richter's and we'll pick up Mrs. Richter, her name was Johanna, and she took my mother for a godmother, and she had a daughter that's a little bit older than me. Her birthday was in June. She lives out in Seattle. She's still alive. And they called her Genevieve. Then my mom says, well, just call her Johanna after the godmother. Then when they got over to the priest said, I'm going to call that baby what I want. He says, you had all these kids to my dad. My mother's name was Hedwiga, and I'm going to call her Hedwiga Johanna. So when I got home, my mother said, why are you doing with this? Godmother didn't like that. Oh, she didn't mind it too bad. She took it. And then they couldn't remember the name. They called me baby. Then pretty soon, the Easter come around, and then my godmother would send me a little box. I still remember that. It was a little box like that. It was velvet. She had Easter eggs in there, and she had my name spelled on there. Hedwiga Johanna.
Oh.
So we shouldn't feel so bad. And she doesn't feel bad about it. See, that's nice. She's a smart lady. She prayed good, and she could read. Could read good. My mom could read real good German, but not English.
Mm-hmm. Was that Mrs. Richter any relative of yours?
No, just good neighbors, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They had quite a few children, too. I think they had 11 or 12.
Now, do you know anything else about Russia? Do you remember anything else that they talked about? Did they get homesick for Russia?
My dad could talk Russian real good, and he used to invite Mr. Richter, Mr. Warner, and Mr. Brown, and they would play cards in my house, in our house. That house was a two rooms, you know, the dining room that had a front room and a door. Well, in the dining room, they all sat at the table. So my dad says, today, my friends are coming to come over, we'll play cards. But they closed the door, because I guess, I don't know why they closed the door. they closed the door, then they talked Russian. They also didn't want to forget their Russian language, see? So these guys were in there talking Russian.
Did they remember anything else? Did they get homesick for Russia?
Oh, I suppose they did, you know. A little bit, I think they did, because they would sing Russia sometimes. So.
Sing Russian songs.
Oh, my dad, when he was younger, then when he taught catechism and stuff, because he could read good.
He taught
a little, you know, catechism and stuff, German. Because they still, that's when they learned the German too, because they were Germans, see?
Yeah.
Alsace-Lorraine, that's where my grandpa comes from.
From Alsace-Lorraine. So they went from Alsace-Lorraine, that was German, then they went to Russia, and then lived in Russia a long time, then they came over here.
When the Russians got bad, they thought, well, there's a lot of people come over here. You know, my dad still had a sister over there.
Oh?
She married a Holzer. And he had sore eyes. They wouldn't let anybody come over. They had to be in perfect shape, you know, when they let people out.
From Russia over here.
And he had sore eyes, so he couldn't come over when my folks came over. So she was left behind.
Okay. Then she never came over here then, huh?
She never came over. Because later on her husband died, and she had two boys, a Mike and a Joe. And she had three girls. And my folks used to write to her. And she was so poor. I remember that. She was so poor at the end of the books, you know, sometimes there's an empty page.
Yeah.
She made an envelope with that and wrote letters with that kind of paper, because she didn't have no paper. She made her own envelopes.
Yeah.
And then she wrote to us, then my ma went around and she got she collected some money from some people, dollars, years ago, dollar meant a lot, you know. Oh my God, I guess she had like $21 or something that people. And then she had some yard goods and thread and stuff. And she filled the sack like that, and they put the address on and they shipped it over. That was when the Russians were bad. They were really bad. And then she wrote us and she said that they shouldn't send anything over. They just stick a knife in and open the bag and they take out the good stuff, the thread and stuff that they want to use and what they don't need, and they give it to the people that send it. So they had a tough time.
Yeah.
And then she said that her oldest son, that's the only one that we remembered. One of the girls, she said, went out one night with her boyfriend, and she got shot through the head. They found her by the sea, the Black Sea. That was one of the girls that we knew that was bad. And then...
Okay, that girl that got shot, that was not a relative.
That was my cousin.
Oh, your cousin.
Yeah, my dad's sister.
Oh.
Her name was Catherine. She married a Holzer.
That was your...
And that was one of her daughters.
Oh, one of her daughters. Okay, your aunt's daughter.
And then we got another letter from her dead down. Her oldest son starved to death. They starved.
Oh.
They got roots, they went roots, they got dug roots and made soup and stuff. They were really poor. There was a lot of them dead. And she said her oldest son, he got married. He's the only one that we knew that he got married. His name was Michael. I guess she called him after my dad. And she said they found him on the street, and he had the end of his coat that was chewing on it. You know, hunger can do a lot.
Oh.
I know thirst can do a lot, but hunger is worse.
He was so hungry that he was eating his coat.
Eating his coat. The end of the coat that was chewing on it.
Yeah.
That must be just terrible for a mother to see that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And then pretty soon we didn't hear anything anymore. I don't know if the kids couldn't write or what happened, but we couldn't hear anything anymore.
Do you know what year that was? Do you know about what year it was when they started like that?
We still lived out on the farm. That must have been in
Was it like 1921?
In there, 1917 to 1921 or so. In these years, when it was really tough.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, your dad's. That was your dad's sister.
My dad's sister.
Okay, does he have more sisters?
He had a half sister yet.
Do you know all that?
Did you know that? John Fry had a half sister.
Lived in Aberdeen. Fice.
Yeah.
Married
Fice. Okay. See, my grandma got married again, and then she married a Schneider, and then they had this Mary. Mary was Mary's godmother.
Yeah.
And George's godmother. They were very good friends of your folks.
How many stayed in Russia? Your dad's brothers and sisters, how many?
Just one sister.
Just Catherine.
She married a Holzer.
Mm-hmm. And you don't know what happened to them. You don't know what happened to them after
that.
Well,
he died, and she must have died too, because we didn't hear nothing. And then from, I might still have some cousins over there. There's one boy, his name would be Joe, and the girls' names I don't know. No more. I think one of the girls' name was Barbara, but I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure. But I know that one girl got shot through the head, and then there would be just three of them left if there's anybody alive yet.
How many are your mother's brothers and sisters? Did anybody stay over in Russia from there?
No, not on my mother's side.
They all came over here.
But my grandfathers are both buried over there. Joe Fedich and Joe Messett. They're both buried in Russia. See, they died quite young. They both died young.
Oh, okay. And the grandmas are buried over there.
The grandfathers.
Yeah, and the grandmas.
No, the grandmas are buried here. That Fedich grandma is buried in Strasbourg.
Oh.
In Strasbourg. That Barbara Fedich. Well, Barbara Budigant was her. They should go back to the first marriage when they get buried.
Yeah.
They should stay with the second marriage. It's too much of a mistake.
Be on there.
So the mothers, the widows came over here. The widows were
the
old
widows
ladies.
The widows came over here, yeah.
They were old ladies when they came over here then.
Well, my dad was only 48 when he died. So he was. My dad was only 13 years old when his father died.
Mm-hmm.
That he had to work out for other people.
Oh, what did he have to do? What kind of work?
Well, mostly farmer work, you know, when they're teenagers, you know, growing up. He was 13.
Okay, now the next question. Can you still talk German?
Me?
Yeah.
Can I ever? I can even sing German.
Can you sing? Can you sing for us?
Oh, du meine liebe Zeit, Schönsten Zufriedenheit, lässt du mir sein Grenzlein zu der Rosenzeit. Oh, we used to sing German. My mother was a singer. She just loved German.
Yeah, I remember when you'd come down and then they'd sing German.
Well, sing it again. Sing it again.
Maybe I should see something else. Oh, I remember something Grandma told me. I have to sing that. Just gives me a little tidy. But she said there is a lady, there is a young girl, and she was blind. That's what I remember. And she didn't live very far from her place. And the evening was beautiful evening. They had weather something like North Dakota, you know, or Russia. Because that's why they settled here. The first couple.
Yeah.
They didn't come, but we settled in South Dakota first. And she says, this one lady, this one little girl, she'd come out there, she was so pretty, and she'd stand by the fence, and she was blind, she couldn't see. And she'd sing, oh, when it's nur my mother wist, we must sing the friend again. Die Stufen stimmt, die sind zerrissen, durch die Hose pfeift der Wind. They're pretty. my Marquis sings so good, you know, she could sing. She was a good singer. She was singing in the old country, you know, she was singing in church.
Mm-hmm. No, just
so was I singing in church in St. Anthony when I grew up. I used to go over there and practice singing. 6 miles, I had to go over there on horseback. Mm-hmm. Practice singing it up.
The song that you just sang, can you say the words? Can you say the words without singing so that we understand it better? Can you just say it?
Oh, when this new my mother wished, we must sing the friend again.
When this new my mother wished,
we must sing the friend again. Die stream und shoes, die sind Cerisa. Durch die Hose, pfeift der Wind.
Okay. Did your children learn anything German?
My oldest girl could talk German. Because my folks lived with me. I took care of my folks all the time. I washed for them before years and years and ironed and everything for them.
Oh, so
the last 5 years when my mom lived, I took care of her. I gave her a bed, combed her hair every day, washed her toenails, cut her toenails, cut her fingernails. Gell?
Yeah,
that did.
But otherwise, your children did not learn any German, huh?
Well, they understand a little bit, but the boys, they never cared that much. But for Lila, you know, she could talk German.
Because you lived in town and then you had to talk English. Because you lived in town and everybody else talked English, huh?
But when I find somebody that talks German, I could talk German too. There's that Russian lady living over here. She could talk Russian, but she couldn't talk English. Her name was Schmidt. Whenever I seen that lady, I wanted to talk German to her. I thought she was German. Did she shake her head? She says, she was a good English speaker, but she could talk Russian.
Oh. Okay, now when you were little, when you lived on the farm, what are some of the work that you enjoyed doing?
Oh my God, I did everything.
What you like to do? What did you like to do the most? Did you like to wash dishes?
That was my job. And the stepbrother, where we milked. My sister and I milked 17 cows. And we had 17 calves. And we had to learn them how to drink. She put her fingers in their mouth and I held a pail. And we never lost a calf. We had 17 cows and 17 calves.
Oh.
My dad says, boy, that's a good record, that's good. We walked down, it was almost a block where we had our cow, where we milked the cow in the summertime. Then we had to carry the milk out with a 10-gallon cream can. That's why my arms are so long, stretched. Well, anyhow, then we milked and we separated and we had to feed the calves. We gave them a gallon of milk. Mm-hmm. Each calf got a gallon of milk and morning and night. And we put the cream, we had to put it in the tank. We had a barrel, we put the cream in there and that the water was running all the time, see if it was cold. Mm-hmm. That's because you couldn't go to town every day to bring the meat, the cream over there in the winter, in the summertime, you know, it was warm. There's a lot of work on the farm, oh my God. Then feed the chickens and we had geese, we picked the geese, made pillows. Mm-hmm. That's a work, I says, if I think back what work we did. Then I worked outside. I plowed with my dad. We plowed with horses.
Mm-hmm.
I got up in the morning, went out, hitched my horses up, fed them. Then I went in and had eight. Then we went out and we took the team out. We had four horses on the plow and one on the rake. You know, there's five horses at the hitch shop.
With one a harrow, huh? That was the harrow.
To Harold, yeah.
When you worked in the field, what did you wear?
I wore overalls.
Did you have to wear a dress?
No. I wore overalls.
You wore overalls.
My mom was a good patcher all the time, so I used to wear my brother's overalls. They were patched up, it was okay. They were clean and all, so. Then I helped make hay. we rigged the heat. I rigged the heat. My brother cut it and I rigged it. And I like to go horseback riding. Oh, I was a good horseback rider.
Did you ride bareback?
No, I had a saddle.
You actually had a saddle?
I didn't like the bareback. I had my saddle.
You had a saddle already, huh? Okay, what work did you not enjoy doing?
I didn't like to milk, for one thing, because the cows would just chase the mosquitoes and they'd get in my eyes all the time with their tail, you know. But I didn't like it. I didn't like to milk. I had to do it, I did it, but I didn't like to do it.
Well, were you ever punished when you did not do the work?
Never.
I was always there
when they needed me. I was always with everybody. They carry the water in, carry the slop out, carry the manure in for the fire, and carry the ashes out. All that was our work when we came home from school.
Did you have dried manure? Did you?
Well, you know how they used to make the manure. All the manure was on, then they drive the horses on there and it got just like coal.
They packed it down.
And then they got square pieces like that, see? And then they had cracks, and when it was dry, you put on underneath the shovel, you could set one this way, one this way, one this way, then it dried. Then you put them on a pile. Then you took the stuff that the cows left behind, you know, the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
and we had to close the holes up.
The wet manure.
We had some kind of a thing, you know, where it was
a like
cement thing or whatever. And then that got real hard, and then the snow didn't get in there. And then the end there, of course, they took it out. Sometimes there was snow, we had to take the snow.
So you had to
just think how hard people...
You set up the manure, the blocks of manure, you stacked them up and then you smeared it on the outside with fresh manure so that it doesn't get wet, so the snow doesn't get in.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
And then you had to haul the hay into the barn for the cattle and for the horses, you know. You had to pitch it in by hand.
Into the upstairs.
My dad had two stallions that had to be fed all the time. When he used to be on the thresh machine, my dad, I had to take the stallion out, and he was so mean, you know. Sometimes when little kids come around, he thought he could be the boss. But then he had to chirk them to tell them, you're the boss. Then they're settled down. But we had a brown one and a black one. See, they used to come bred their horses there. Yeah, lots of work.
Your dad had a black stallion and a brown stallion?
And a brown stallion.
Oh, so they had a lot of horses.
Yeah, he measured in horses. We had a big fence there, so he used to sell horses. The people would bring their mares in. They'd pay $1 right away, and then when the cool came, he got $11. Yeah, a little money with that. It paid off.
Now, what about school?
School, we had the teachers in our house.
Oh.
One year my dad was on the school board, and we thought nobody would take the teachers. So we had four teachers once in our house. It was two men teachers and two lady teachers.
Yeah, but not four in one at one
time.
No,
they didn't stay, yes. They stayed till they found a place for them. See, when they came with the train, you got to go and get them.
They were in
Wisconsin and Crooks in Minnesota and for different places. I just remember one teacher we had from Napoleon, that was later after one of the teachers died. One of our teachers died in our house.
In your house? Really?
I have to tell you that after I tell you about this. See, then there was a district of four. Here was Schaefer's and over here, and two over here. So then my dad had to call them and see who takes the teachers. So we got somebody that took that teacher, so they didn't have to go so far.
That's
cool, you know, in the winter time. And then one takes that teacher, one takes over there. And we always had a teacher for our school. So now this one nice lady, she was from Cookston, Minnesota. And out of Fargo a little ways, not too far. And she was 21 years old, and she was a nice, strong lady. Her name was Hilda McCarty.
Hilda McCarty. Okay.
She was a very nice looking girl, and she got diphtheria. I'll tell you what happened that day. That was something real bad. It was in the winter time. It was so cold. It was in February, first part of February. And this girl was so sick, that sore throat. My mom brought a bed down in the dining room and set it there, and said that, my mom says, we'll have to call a doctor. She's too sick. We called around, and then we got a doctor from Wishit. Stock to come out with a buggy and two horses. It wasn't too much snow, but it was cold. He never slept yet or had a buggy. So he could still drive with the buggy. And he came in, and my ma said, he said, that's diphtheria. I don't think she had diphtheria. And do you know, and my ma made him tea and stuff, and he ate. And she said, you stay overnight. No, no, no. He says, I'm going back. And he vaccinated her. He made her sit up in bed like that. And I had a lot of kilos behind her, but we had geese, we had a lot of feathers. And he stuck a needle in her, and vaccinated her. And she says, you stay overnight, she's too sick. No, he wouldn't do that. He didn't get out of there fast enough. He did something he shouldn't have done. Then after he was gone, my mom went over there and lifted her nightgown up and looked, and she said, it was black and blue, the bed. So he didn't know what happened. She's dying, but the doctor is gone.